Welcome back, everybody, to another fun-filled episode of the We Are Adult Show, brought to you by Hobbyhead Productions. It could be worse. You could be outside, living with all the people, getting the coronavirus. But you know what you could do to not get sick? You could stay inside and listen to this podcast. It's not going to be fun. It's just a way to not to be sick. I'm your host, Sean. Danny, hopefully you're in a secret, in your safe space, per usual.
Well, you know, I've been seeing all these, like, memes about, like, video game players or board gamers or Magic players that, and them not leaving the house, and they're like, this is the moment we've been preparing for.
Weebs, shut-ins, you name it.
Exactly. But you know what's funny? It's fun. I see all these people posting stuff, and they're trying to be all, like, thinking they're trying to be clever, and it's like, this is a trial run of socialism, and it's like, no, it's not a trial run of anything. It's a current run of what's going on in the world. Whether it's, you know, people panicking because, like, fear, you know, we have nothing to fear but fear itself, and fear is very scary, or Trump's presidency, whatever it is. But it's like, it's not a trial run of anything. Stop trying to blame something else and just stop buying up, you know, 18,000 containers of hand sanitizer and then get sad girl and try to get sympathy when Amazon takes your store off the market. Like that happened to some dude in Tennessee.
Yep. Yeah, there's people like posted up trying to like resell toilet paper for extended costs and stuff. It's just it's just so funny. It's just,
yeah, I saw this thing for Lysol spray, just a regular bottle of Lysol spray for $250 a can.
The sad thing is that somebody's going to buy it.
Right. But like the guy that, you know, he dropped $70,000 on a hand sanitizer. I mean, not hand sanitizer, but the Lysol wipes in Canada. And then he ended up selling enough to make $100,000, but he still has a bunch left, and they pulled his marketplace off Amazon too.
Yeah.
He can't sell anything for a while.
Yeah.
Good old America and Canada. Just capitalism at its finest.
Blame Canada. I don't know. It is ridiculous.
It is. Do you have food? Are you gonna die?
I'm not gonna die. I'm gonna die because I'm too lazy to do anything.
Yeah. I mean, you don't have 80 pounds of ground beef and 20 gallons of milk?
No.
You didn't buy a half a cow from the store?
I'm gonna have to go back out and get coffee creamer, man. I'm just not prepared.
You aren't, dude, and you might not be able to get any, because I know, like, one of my Facebook friends is a cashier at the Potato Brothers I shop at, and she posted, she's like, yeah, don't even bother coming to the store today. We don't have anything, and we don't get any trucks today. Nothing till tomorrow, just to stay home.
Well, the nice thing is I drink almond milk or soy coffee creamer, so I'm sure I won't run into any problems.
You know, see, I knew it, Sean. You finally admitted it. You're a soy boy.
A soy boy.
I mean, your Facebook profile picture already has the soy boy smile, so you finally admitted it to everyone. And yourself, you're a soy boy.
I don't know what to tell you, man.
It feels good, though, finally, to get that off your chest, right? No, you've outed yourself?
I guess so. I mean, it's just one of those things where it's like, it's just easier to pick something that I like that we could both drink instead of me having to chug through normal and then have to help chug her coffee creamer because we're buying two different ones. You know, and it's all about just trying to not waste money.
That makes sense. You want to, it's like sometimes you got to bite the bullet, not do things that are fun. It's like Pulp Fiction, where he's like, he takes a bite of the Big Kahuna Burger, and it's like, you know, I haven't had a hamburger for a long time because my girlfriend, she's a vegetarian, which pretty much makes me a vegetarian too.
Oh, not that far, but yeah, it definitely gets a little out there. Dang, I'm kind of disappointed. I can't find hand sanitizer on Craigslist. In South Jersey, I guess people aren't that far in thinking about how to make money.
Either that, or they all got pulled off.
You make a good point.
which I, you know, I heard people are doing. So
never mind. Here we go. I could buy a roll of toilet paper for $60, and this is the Georgia Pacific professional kind. So you know this is gonna make your ass bleed.
Oh this yeah, cheap not, shit. It's not even full ply. It's half ply.
Yeah.
Man, I saw people like posting stuff on like memes, and it's like, you know, back in my day, we had so much toilet paper, we strung it from the trees of our enemies.
Oh, here we go. Toilet paper for guitars, $1,000. I got that good toilet paper, Charmin for PRS, Gibson or Fender. I have store brand for Squire, and oh, dude, this is just so ridiculous, man.
And then a pizza place in Santa Barbara, they posted, they're like, every to-go order gets a free roll of toilet paper. I'm like, that's smart marketing right there. You're not trying to gouge anybody. You're like, you get pizza and a roll of toilet paper for the same price of just the pizza by itself.
Exactly.
Please buy from us so we don't go out of business.
Yep. Here's some Angel Soft for $25. That seems like a deal. Oh, that look at this. Look at this.
Semi-reasonable.
Yeah. One case of Lavix premium toilet paper for $150. Will deliver. You get 96 rolls, though.
96 rolls for how much?
For $150.
Oh, $150.
Yeah. This is the janitorial 2-ply 500 sheet. Looks fancy.
I mean, that doesn't seem like that outrageous, because it's like at $100, it'd be just barely a dollar a roll.
Here's somebody measuring one of those giant rolls that, you know, go into, like, the, you know, the giant rolls that you, that get put into, like, public locations. It's like,
yes,
toilet paper, one roll, 3.6 pounds, $100.
Yeah, somebody on Facebook posted, it's like, whoever gave me the gag gift of this giant roll of toilet paper at Christmas, who's laughing now? And it was one of those, it almost looked like a medium pizza box that it came in. It was so big.
Joke's on you, bitch.
Exactly. Oh, man. But I found this beer, Sean. I didn't necessarily find it. It found me. It's not the version I wanted to buy, like, a couple years ago when it first came out. This partnership, tag team, if you will, of Harpoon Brewing.
Yes.
Out of like Boston / Vermont, employee owned. And Dunkin' Donuts. So the first release they did was a pale ale, like a copy pale ale. And this one, right, that I wasn't able to get my hands on because it was like only released back east. And I guess they must have got the memo on this one, because literally like the same day, like every bottle shop that I follow on Instagram in the Riverside or Riverside area posted that they got it in.
Oh.
It's a coffee porter.
Ooh.
And they tell you that it's flavor or / specialty. They have all these things to tell you what you're supposed to be tasting. Classic porter with Dunkin' coffee. The color is dark brown / black. The aroma is espresso and dark chocolate. And the taste is roasty, malty, and smooth.
That's some smooth-ass shit right there, boy.
Right. And it comes in at 6% alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not a heater. It's just a straight, good old-fashioned coffee porter.
Okay. Not too shabby.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely, like I said, more old school. It's not as, like, thick, and, like, it's not as sheety. Well, I guess the head, the bubbles are sheeting the glass a little bit. It's got some nice, but you can smell the coffee and taste it, but it's, I don't know, it's not the best, but it's pretty good. It's solid.
Okay.
I mean, I didn't want to buy the full, like, six-pack because I didn't want to gamble. I just wanted to try it. So I bought a single bottle for $2.
Gotcha.
And then they have a motivational quote, you know, that to make all the moms out there happy. Instead of the love laugh, life, or whatever it is that people get on their pillows, it's a love life, love beer, Sean.
Nice. Fair enough, bud.
It's 28.
I love that.
It's not very bitter either on that one. I love it when they throw out just all these information that necessarily isn't the most important, but it makes it sound important.
Right.
It's like when sports nerds talk about, wins over replacement player and all this other stuff, that like just the basic guy that's like, I like baseball, hit the ball. They're like, I don't even know what that means, dude. Like, can you explain that to me? What's the whip?
The whip? It's work in progress.
It's the walks and or hits per innings pitched.
all that complicated business.
Which is what Billy Bean, that's the stuff that Billy Bean made important.
Yeah.
Important enough that they made a movie, a fictionalized movie about him, starring Brad Pitt and Ned DiPodesto, who was at one point the Dodgers general manager, then went to another baseball team, and then he went to the Cleveland Browns, and then got fired after one season there because they realized that Moneyball doesn't work in football, it only works in baseball. But then again,
you could always try, though.
I was going to say, it was also a bad place to experiment because nothing works in Cleveland.
Nothing does? That's not fair.
I meant for the football team. You know, when you have like four first overall draft picks in a row, and you still can't win, you know, more than 8 games in a season.
Fair enough.
I mean, by more than 8, I mean usually more than 2 or 3.
It is what it is.
Yes.
I mean, now you don't. Now starting in the season of 2021, you can't go 8-8. Because they just approved the new deal for the next 10 years.
Did they?
Yeah, it's a 17-game season and then extended playoffs. So it sounds like more shitty teams can make the playoffs.
Yes, I heard that they're going to add more teams and have like a playoff run or something like that. Mm-hmm. Apparently somebody's making shirts that are a reference to the current Panic and a band that was popular at some point, and the shirt written on it is Panic at the Costco.
I wonder what band that could be.
Oh. How about you there, Sheen?
So I am having a wonderful oyster and oatmeal stout from Double Nickel Brewing. So I was there last night, and I was sipping on this, and I was sipping on the Buffalo Stout as well, or Porter, which was also very fantastic. That one was aged in Buffalo Trace whiskey barrels, or bourbon barrels, and so that one was really enjoyable. But I bought a bottle of that one, but I did buy a 4-pack of this one, so... This is they partnered up with the Bridgeton Oyster Company. So this is a 6.8% ABV ounces. I'm only drinking 6 ounces, Danny.
You're only drinking 6 ounces, Sean?
No, it's only 6.8 ABV. But
okay.
It's a very smooth and creamy, and the oyster gives it a nice kind of a salty taste. So very delicious. I don't know if you've had oyster stouts before.
Yes, I have. They're pretty good. You know what's funny though is when I was looking through my cellar, aka refrigerator, to figure out what to get, I almost grabbed a Double Nickel beer, Sean. We almost had another double nickel episode on unintentionally.
Oh boy. It almost happened.
It's funny because I have one of their beers that you might never get to drink.
Why? Which one's that?
It's called Coast to Coast.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a West Coast exclusive beer to kind of like mark the moment, celebrate the fact that they're being distributed on the West Coast now. So they made that is only distributed to the West Coast.
Mm. Fair enough.
Sean.
The only thing I need is I need Urban Artifact to distribute to the New Jersey, Pennsylvania area.
It's not cheap to send your mule out there all the time?
No, it's too expensive.
They had a beer release yesterday at this brewery in Murrieta called Electric Brewing.
Mm-hmm.
And people were lining up before 3 o'clock in the morning in the rain to buy their beers.
Wait, what? Why? Are they even that good?
Apparently they are.
Or is it just like a new brewery?
They've been around for a while. They've gotten better, and they're kind of becoming like one of those beers where you buy like a 4-pack and you drink one, and then you should trade the rest for an inflated price, like it's toilet paper in a national crisis.
Fair enough.
But yeah, like it's funny because now like you don't even have to necessarily wait in line. You just show up, throw a camping chair, and then walk around and do whatever. Go hang out in a group of people because your camping chair is officially your placeholder in line.
What if you kill? What if somebody like threw away the chair?
That's against. That's faux pas. Everyone's like watching each other's chair.
I don't know. I think it's bullshit.
You're violating sacred ground, Sean, by throwing people's camping chairs.
I just want to start throwing that shit away.
But the worst part is like there's been a lot of places where like they go inside to get the beer and they just leave and leave their camping chair behind.
It's just part of the cost, I guess.
Yes.
Got you.
The cost of doing business.
Hmm.
Man. So I've been watching this show on Comedy Central, Sean, called Nora from Queens.
Mm-hmm.
It stars actress / rapper Awkwafina. She, like, the first time I guess she was big before I knew her, but she was in that movie Something Rich Asians. I can't remember the name. I'm going to say Dirty Rich Asians, but it's something like that. But anyways, but she was also a rapper. Crazy Rich Asians. I don't know why I said dirty. It's Crazy Rich Asians. I knew I was completely wrong. I fact-checked myself, Sean.
You better check yourself before you wreck yourself.
Exactly. But then she also had a rap career that kind of – that was where she started getting known. And like one of her songs is called My Vag.
Mm-hmm.
Where she's talking about how amazing her vag is compared to everybody else's vag, cause, and it was the idea came to her because she heard a rapper bragging about his dick.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but so basically, the show is like I thought it might be like a sketch type comedy show, but it's more sitcom-y. And so she's living with her dad and her grandma, and it's just her exploits of like trying to live life. And get high and make money.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all the things millennials want to do, apparently.
Yeah.
I'm basing everything I know about millennials off this show, Sean.
Oh, really? Do they take children to breweries?
Actually, there is no breweries in here because she's not a white dude with a beard.
You just said you were learning a lot of things about millennials, though.
Right, but if she was a white dude with a beard, she'd definitely go to a brewery. But she's an Asian woman that's, I don't know, how into the craft beer scene the Asian women, young women community is.
That's fair. I was just complaining about millennials, though.
Yeah, Sean.
That's my one hate about my people.
All millennials suck, Sean. Every single one of them.
You don't have an opinion. You don't do anything but sit in the corner.
And judge millennials. That's my... Well, actually, I'm the Gen X, so I judge both sides. I judge millennials and boomers. They both suck. Because Gen X is the best. But yeah, it's actually pretty funny. They have the full episodes. If you don't want to like pay, you can actually watch the full episodes on the YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
I highly recommend it, Sean. It's pretty funny. Then I watched a movie. It's not as funny. It's a movie called Bombshell.
Mm-hmm. I was expecting like DC Bombshell, something of another.
No, this was, it stars Charlize Theron, Nicole Kidman, and Margot Robbie.
Mm-hmm.
But it's basically the story of the three women that ended up filing like sexual harassment lawsuits against Fox News head and Bill O'Reilly and getting them fired and making a ton of money. But like I was reading about the movie because, you know, like reading the credit, like reading the reviews and stuff, people were kind of either like this movie's amazing or this is like just another piece of liberal propaganda.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was reading about the movie, and apparently when they wrote the movie, they didn't actually interview anybody involved. They just went off other people's interviews. Like, they watched interviews and got their information off, like, other news sources or interviews as opposed to actually talking to the people. So it's mostly, kind of basically, like, mostly true-ish, I guess. But they don't know, like, a lot of, like, the behind-the-scenes stuff. They just know the general stuff. So that's a movie. If you do watch the movie, you probably want to watch it with a grain of salt.
Gotcha.
You know, it's semi-autobiographical.
Gotcha.
But then I watched another movie called Knives Out.
Is it people with knives on their hands?
No, it's more the kinds that people pull out when they get upset at people and the other person turns around.
Gotcha.
But it's directed by, according to some Star Wars fans, the worst director ever.
Mm-hmm.
Rian Johnson. Which, you know, it's funny whenever they, you know, like a director starts making like movies and they get hot and they're like, we need to hire that director. We have this movie that's not their normal genre, but we need a name attached to it. So let's hire this director. And then the director makes the movie and the movie sucks. You know, kind of like M. Night Shyamalan making the last Airbender movie.
Yeah.
Or when they tried to get Kevin Smith to do the Superman movie. Even Kevin Smith would be like, yeah, my movie would just be like Superman and like Jimmy Olsen talking about like getting blowjobs. And it's like, oh, Lex Luthor's up to his old antics again. And he walks off screen and you hear like fight sounds and he comes back. So anyways, where were we? And go back to talking about, you know, rim jobs or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But the cast of this movie is pretty crazy. It's got like Daniel Craig, Chris Evans, Jamie Lee Curtis, Michael Shannon, Don Johnson, Toni Collette, Christopher Plummer.
Mm-hmm.
And so basically the story is Christopher Plummer is a murderer, like a mystery author, and he's rich and his family is basically living off of him. And he ends up dead. And so the police are investigating and somebody hires Daniel Craig, who is this like world famous detective.
Mm-hmm.
And he speaks with like a southern drawl, which is pretty funny. It's like, he's British, dude, like make him British. Because you have all these like a couple other people in here that are British and they're not trying to sound like they're from Texas. But it's a pretty good movie. There's a lot of like twists on who did it, who done it type stuff. The characters are well played, of course, because they got pretty amazing people. Chris Evans is really good in it. His housekeeper, she has this thing where she can't lie.
Mm-hmm.
If she tells a lie, she physically vomits. So then the detective's like, You're gonna come with me and help me with this investigation. And she's like, shit.
Oh, man.
But yeah, just watching it just alone for Daniel Craig, because he's in it quite a bit. Basically, he's almost the main character.
Mm-hmm.
But it also shows that Rian Johnson, who, again, I don't know who people in their weird name spellings, because his name is R-I-A-N. Rian Johnson? Rian Johnson?
I don't know.
But it's written and directed by him.
Gotcha.
And so, got that on the Netflix. And then, finally, Sean, I know you love me talking about movies. My wife and I decided to watch the greatest Fast and the Furious movie ever. And I'm not even joking. Hobbs and Shaw, dude. Like, the dynamic between the two of them, Jason Statham and The Rock.
Mm-hmm.
Is what you wanted out of Vin Diesel in him before The Rock decided that Vin Diesel was just a giant like prima donna and Vin Diesel got mad at The Rock for like expecting him to show up on set on time and work. Oh man, it's just ridiculous. Some of the fight scenes, and then the only thing that sucks is, I mean, because they showed it in the trailer and like we're watching the movie and my wife's like, I thought this was the movie where like he goes home and his family shows up, and I'm like, I didn't say anything, but it literally isn't until like the last half hour of the movie when he goes to Samoa and like Roman Reigns and the rest of the family is there.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's when the movie gets good. Like, it's good up until then, but it like gets great. Some of the interaction with him and his family and why he hasn't been home in 25 years. But, you know, just like all the rest of the Fast and the Furious movies, Sean, this movie leaves you with the lesson that family is important.
Of course it does.
family, bro.
Yeah, Jason has a sister, The Rock has his mama. Everything is right in the end.
Yes. And, you know, of course, you know, there's some interest between The Rock and Jason Statham's sister, and there's jokes played about that. They play practical jokes on each other just because they hate each other. But then they're forced to work together because Black Superman.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's the stunts in this are way better than any of the Fast and the Furious movies. Like, this by far. Like, if you just watch one Fast and the Furious movie, this is the one I highly recommend watching.
it did look like it was just going to be like a goofy ass kind of movie with lots of one-liners shooting back and forth and whatnot.
Right, because even like the Fast and the Furious just got like ridiculous and over the top. And this one, like, it's like somewhat grounded in reality, where you don't have like a Lamborghini like driving from one skyscraper to the next.
Mm-hmm.
That's on the next block over with no parachute or anything like that. And they're able to like land perfectly on all four wheels and stop, crash out the other side because of their momentum.
Yeah.
But, and good news, Sean, I'll probably watch this today and I'll give you my update and report on it next week. But if you have Disney Plus,
yes,
they put Frozen 2 on Disney Plus earlier than they expected. So it's on there as of today.
I learned about that on Choosing Beggars when somebody said that they should just give Disney Plus out for free.
Oh, someone's like, instead of like putting the movie up early, they should just give Disney Plus for free?
Yeah, to people. Because, you know, life's hard. You can't afford that on Social Security.
Exactly. Just like in some small town in the Midwest, like their local Dairy Queen's like, hey, you know, kids are out of school. If kids show up at lunchtime for $1, we'll give them a cheeseburger and a Coke. And somebody replied, what about French fries? Well, then they can pay more for French fries because this is literally a cheeseburger and a Coke for $1. Like, chill. Like,
sorry. Yeah, you could get French fries for like $2 more.
Exactly. It's like, we're not that rich. We're trying to help out.
Oh, yeah.
I love the choosing. I don't know which subreddit I love more, the Choosing Beggars or the Malicious Compliance.
I haven't looked at Malicious Compliance.
It pops up. That's basically the thing where it's like, you know, I work at this company and like the boss is cool and we do this process and we figured out that if we do it this way, it saves so much time. And so the boss just lets me do it. And then he retired and this other guy came in and wants everything to be done by the book. And I tell him it's going to take longer and it's going to cause these problems. He's like, I don't care. It's by the book. And then now he's yelling at me because I'm taking longer than I used to on my jobs. And then he got fired for, you know, stuff like that. And of course, you know, how Reddit is. Nobody believes anything happened for real because nothing ever happens.
Exactly. Pretty much.
So, I know I was watching movies, Sean. You were weaving yourself out.
I gotta live that weeb life, man. Oh man, it was pretty funny. I had to explain to my boss what a weeb was this week, because like we were like so in the middle of all the stress that we're going through right now with, you know, because I work. I think I've talked about it before on the show. So I'm in the part of the building, in the part of the supply chain that delivers like cleaning supplies to, yes, like institutions. So like, of course, with the coronavirus, everybody's freaking out and trying to buy like cleaner and stuff, all this stuff to clean. So our outbound volume is like 15% over plan. So we're getting our asses handed to us. And so like there was a time he tried to make a reference, but I don't even remember what he said because it was some kind of fucking hillbilly ass expression about something about your hunting dog has got to go through a thorn patch or something. And if it doesn't go through, then it's not a good hunting dog. I don't know. It's just some weird ass shit. And I like look at him with the other guys. I'm like, what kind of billy ass shit is that? I'm like, you got two guys from Philadelphia and a guy from Southern California. What the fuck did you just tell us? Because I'm confused.
Yeah, like, whoa, go. If you want to, like, speak redneck, you got to transfer the Texas building.
Exactly. And so, like, we were, like, in something talking about weaves, and so I had to pull up the definition to give the full thing. So I was like, yeah, so you got a billion a weeb at the fucking top of the building. Hope you guys are happy.
Too bad it wasn't a hillbilly weeb. That would be fun for people.
Exactly. I was talking to my buddy from Troy because he was out helping out with as well, and he was like, "Yeah." I was like, "He's like, yeah, Mexicans could be billies too. If you go down to Tennessee, they lose their Mexican and they turn into hillbillies." I'm like, "Holy shit! I didn't know that was a thing."
Well, yeah, I mean, that's why you get like the different rap genres from around the country, like, you know, the East Coast versus the West Coast, and you have that Southern rap where they're, you know. Like, the new one, where, like, Lil Nas X, where people were like, that's not country music, that's rap. And he's like, what are you talking about? It's country music with a rap beat. And then they're like, nope, it's not country music. And then Billy Ray Cyrus is like, nah, man, that's country music, I'll show you. And then he jumped on the song, and then all of a sudden everyone's like, oh my god, this is the greatest country song ever.
Exactly.
To the point where Sam Elliott's mustache is dancing to it on a commercial during the Super Bowl.
It'd really be like that.
Sometimes it do, yes.
So I watched, the first one I watched was The Helpful Fox, Senku-san, which was kind of more of a wholesome anime. It's a 12-episode anime. It basically takes place, like, the main character is, like, a, you know, normal guy, probably in his 30s, and... Like, he hates his life because, like, all he does is work, and he always gets, like, bossed around into working extra hours, and he doesn't get paid for it, and yada, yada, yada. So the demigod, Senku-san, like, shows up at his house and is like, I'm here to be helpful, and cooks and cleans and does all this shit. So they kind of have, like, you know, the first couple episodes, it's always, like, her being helpful, but, like, it never, like, really evolves into anything. Because, you know, of course, like, again, anime logic. So she looks like a child, but she's an 800-year-old demigod, right?
Yes.
Because logic. So it's like, and then there's like another, there's like two other foxes. Like, one's like a younger demigod, and then they have like their boss and whatnot. But the story never like really ever like... evolves into anything besides, like, every day, like, she just does more different helpful things for him. So, like, it didn't really ever... It kind of, like, towards the end, it just kind of got, like, I was just forcing my way to finish the anime because, like, it was kind of like, alright, I only have, like, 3 more episodes left, I might as well finish this. There was, like, no real big conclusion or trouble thing, so it was kind of like... As much as it was like a fun, like a nice little wholesome anime, it does like eventually just feel like it flatlines towards the back half.
Like a slice of life anime where it's just like normal life stuff going on as opposed to like big major drama, just normal life drama.
Yeah, and like he never like the main character never just like learns how to have like an easy, like how to like say no to work or anything. He just get, it's like the same ass shit every day, and it just really flatlines. So I mean, I don't think it's a bad anime, but I mean, it just, and I don't think it's like necessarily the best thing I've watched either.
No, but it's definitely not the worst.
No, definitely not the worst. I feel like that's a lot. Well, I think I feel like I'm starting to see this out of a lot of animes now. Like, stuff is getting stretched, and there's just... There seems to be, like, overall no rhyme or reason to the anime. Like, it just kind of, like... It just, like, kind of extends through. At least, like, with, like, Maidens in Your Savage Season, like, they kind of, like, had a, like... The girls, like, kind of fought and kind of gave their beliefs, and they, like, grew. So, you know, like, there was growth. Like, there was, like, problem, and they overcame it, and, like, kumbaya at the end. It's like, but, like, here, it's just, like, what are we doing?
Right. And I understand, like, not everything needs to have, like, a conclusion, because sometimes you just want to show, like, because if that was the case, then nobody would ever watch a Coen Brothers movie. Because they just basically, it's like, you already start kind of in the middle of what's going on, and it's just, like, a short period of time in this person's life, so it's not even like they have time to grow, because it's literally, like, a month passes in the movie. Like, mm-hmm. And you're just like, we're not showing that this person grew, we're just showing the incident that happened during this month to their life and made it, like, wacky or whatever.
Yeah.
So, but I mean, it makes sense too, because sometimes, like you said, you just want a little bit of conflict. You need something to be resolved.
Exactly. The next anime I watched, season 1 and 2, first season was 12 episodes, the second season is 10 episodes, The Testament of Sister New Devil. So, honestly, I was kind of looking for another, like, I was looking for some kind of, like, easy-to-watch anime, and so I dove into this one. So this is a harem, and it's, like, about, basically, like, this guy, like, he ends up with, like, some sisters, because, like, it's all believed, like, in the first episode that his dad's getting married, and now he has new stepsisters and whatnot, and they end up, one of them ends up being like the old demon lord's daughter, and she inherited all of his power and stuff, and it turns into like a huge struggle where he's like trying to protect her, and you find out he was like kicked out of like the hero clan. So it's kind of like, it reminds me a lot of the High School DxD, where there's like demons and angels and stuff. But instead of angels, it's like demon. It's like the hero clan. But there is like some kind of mysterious character that like kind of helps and has like had one episode in season 2 where I think she's part of like the angels and stuff. But like overall, like it's just, I thought it was like the serious part of it was pretty decent, but I would say like the best comparison is like High School DxD with less girls but way more lewd. Like, of course, like how he ends up like doing master servant bonds with the girls, and of course like the way he has to like increase their bond is by like messing with them, and so it just like it gets really ridiculous because like the girls like call him brother in the middle of like their little like playtime, and it's just like, it's like, dude, like what are we doing? And so I told my group chat, I was like, this anime got the Alabama 100 award for all the moaning of brother.
You're like, yeah, like your hillbilly boss is like, I ain't never watching an anime. And he tells about this one, he's like, he comes back the next day, I binge watched the whole thing.
Yeah, it's like, it's almost like to the point where you just like, you see it coming, you're like, all right, skip, let's get back to the main story. Because like the rest of like the story is actually like rather legit, but you have to like fight through these like awkward power scenes, and you're just like, come on, man, like, why do you gotta do this?
This would be one of those shows that they would make the meme of when I'm watching the anime alone, and it's like, intense story, and then it's like when my mom walks in, oh brother.
Yes, exactly, that is the best way to probably describe the anime.
Oh man,
yeah, there is a movie, and I think it's supposed to help kind of conclude the overall story, because I don't think it like, I think it I think this was originally supposed to be written like the, because like it's not even the manga and the light novel are still being written, and so, and they've been, and it seems like the writer takes like a really long time to get them out, or he's on like hiatus. So it's like, it's supposed to be like this long series, but it's like hard to say, because like you definitely know like at the end of season 2, like some of it is buttoned up, but there's still like a lot of loose ends that need to be looked at, based off the conflict between the demons. Because, like, there's two different demon factions, and that's kind of, like, both of them are trying to, like, manipulate the demon lord, the princess, so that way they can have that power. So it's kind of, like, there's still some some conflict, and obviously you still have, like, the hero group that's just kind of out, and they, like, dabbled a little bit into the seasons, and but, like, overall, there's, you know, they're still overall, they're out there, and there's supposedly a giant war happening between the demons and the hero clan at some point, so there's a lot of... There's a lot of loose ends, so that's kind of, I think, the only disappointing thing about getting into it is, like, there's not, it's not far enough into the story, so.
But if you're into the incest porn that apparently is popular now, then this is the show for you?
This is the show for you.
Oh, man. I don't know why that's so popular.
I don't know.
And... Sometimes, like, they don't even distinguish if it's, like, stepsister or regular sister. They're just like, eh, siblings.
Yeah, exactly.
You just want to ruin your imagination.
I mean, if you're looking... I guess if you're not one of the ones looking for it, then why do you care?
I just think it's funny that, you know, sometimes... my point is that, like, some people are like, oh, wait... Can I masturbate to this? Oh, no, it's stepsister. It's cool.
It's like, hold on, hold on. Step. Okay, we're good. Green light. Sorry, we're good, everybody. Good. Sorry. Sorry. Just checking. Sorry, I'm out of here.
Resume. Carry on. Oh, man. But then the other one that's even more disturbing is the whole mother-son porn that's gotten popular, too.
Like when people get stuck in random things that they shouldn't get, like stuck under the bed, stuck in the washer. It's just very confusing times.
Or their mom. They shouldn't get stuck in their mom.
No. I guess that too.
Oh, man. So, Sean, I asked you to take one for the team and check out a video game. Did you check it out at all?
I did play it. I did play it this morning.
So, there's this game. I was, like, on the chat with friend of the show, Man Thing, and a mutual friend, Chunkabee.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just kind of zoning out, and I wanted to download the free game of the month, the Shadows of the Colossus. And so, I was looking around to see. I'm like, well, what else is free? And so, I was looking, and I came across in the free-to-play section a game called Kitten Squad that was either was paid to be made by PETA.
Was it Kitten Squad and you were like, what is this? Or was it, did you read the description and you saw PETA? So then then it sparked your curiosity.
I saw Kitten Squad and that it was free and I'm like, what's this? And then I saw that it was by PETA and then I'm like, all right, I'm going to at least download this and check it out.
You know what? It's funny because I think earlier this week when I was trying to, or when did you start playing this? Last week?
I think I started playing it, like last week. Okay. Like, last week.
See, I think I was still playing Assassin's Creed, and I saw you had achievements for Kitten Squad, and I'm like, what the fuck is Danny playing? Like, I didn't look it up, but I was just like, what the hell, man?
Right, and so, like when you go to the missions, and it's, like, the first mission you have to rescue is, like, a killer whale that was kidnapped from its... And, like, this long... Did you read, like, all the... like, detail that they put into the first mission?
Oh, yeah, dude. Yeah, dude, I was, like, reading... I was, like, reading it. I was, like... I'm, like, wow. Like, this is fucking ridiculous.
It was, like, they kidnapped her, and they put her in a tank with another killer whale that committed suicide by bashing his head against the edge of the tank, and you have to go rescue it, and, like... And then, like, you have to go blow... your enemies are all robots, so you're not even, like, killing anything.
Pretty much. In the game.
But then you're a kitten that has just, like, random weapons. So it plays like an old-school, like, almost like Contra-type game where it's, like, top-down, and then you go from room to room.
Yeah, it's only, like, two buttons. Like, it's only the joysticks. You have your left joystick moves your cat around the room, and then your right joystick, depending on which way you point it, it, like, shoots his weapon that way.
Right. How long did it take you to figure out how to play? Because I...
It it took a little bit. It was very frustrating. I almost gave up in the first room. Because I couldn't figure out why it was like, because I kept pulling the trigger and I was like, why won't it, like, let me shoot? I was like, and then, like, other times, it took a long time to figure out. And then I figured out, like, that if you hold the right one, then, and pull the trigger, then it'll shoot. And then I realized, you only have to just point in that direction. You don't even have to do the trigger.
Right. I died like twice. Because I went in the first time, like you said, pulling the trigger, and then I died. And I'm like, okay, well, maybe it's one of the buttons. So it must be the X button. Because there's no instructions on how to play the game.
No, there's not.
And so I went in there, and I was pushing the X button, and then I died again. And then I was walking around, and then like I went to go from one of the NPCs in the opening room to another one, and then it fired. And I'm like, wait. And then that's when I figured it out.
Mm-hmm.
And, but the game gets tough, man. Like, I cleared the first level, the first mission is pretty easy.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, I get about I don't know how close I get to the end of the second one. But then I ended up getting my wife to play with me this morning on the two-player because it's a couch co-op.
Mm-hmm.
And that's fun, too. Like, just, like if she would have just relaxed and, like, realized that it wasn't that big of a deal because she was, like, nervous and not wanting to, like, mess up. And I'm like, yeah, it's fine, dude. We're going to mess up. Like, this game isn't, like, anything serious. And then, so we made it, like, a little bit. And then the next time, like, we kept getting stuck in the same room. And she was just getting frustrated because, like old school games, if you die, you don't start. There's no autosave.
No. You got to restart.
Yeah, you got to restart the whole thing. So if you're, like, at the boss level, at the boss room, you got to go all the way back through it again.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there's, you know, ways to buy coins, to buy cosmetics, or you can earn them in-game.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to, because your character, you start wearing a crown, so if you want to buy, like, a hat or a beanie or different outfits, or even change the color of your cat.
I was impressed by the amount of different cats you could be.
Yes. And the increasing the way the price just increased almost exponentially from like the first cat to like the most expensive cat.
Yeah, they really want you to play.
Yes, and then there's daily like bounties to where you can like if you kill so many enemies with a certain gun or kill so many of a certain type of enemy, you get like 1,000 coins or whatever.
Yeah, dude, that was the other annoying part is that if you picked up, you couldn't change guns. Like, you had to just, if you accidentally picked up a gun off the floor, that was your new gun. And it was just like, I was like, fuck, I didn't mean to grab it. I didn't even fucking see it come out. Like, I got super annoyed by the gun selection as well.
Again, very old school, two buttons. Like, if you touch something, that's yours now. Mm-hmm. But the cool thing, like, with, like, the hearts and the money that they drop, like, if you get semi-close to it, it kind of gets pulled to you, so if there's, like, a heart and you need a heart but it's on top of a gun, then you can, like, at least lure the heart away from the gun.
Yeah.
But then, like, one time I cleared a room and they put a gun that I didn't want literally right in front of the door. So, yeah, I was like, all right, I guess that's my new gun now.
Yeah, because I had the bounty, you had to use the yarn gun. I couldn't even get the yarn gun. I was just like, fuck this, man.
And then, like, some of the guns are, like, amazing.
Yeah.
Like, there's the one where it's, like you shoot, like, electricity and it just bounces around.
Yeah, I really liked the gun that shot, like, 3 shots in, like, a triangle formation. It was just very easy to, like, clean rooms with it.
Right, but then you get some guns where it's just, like, it's shooting tomatoes and they're, like,
literally
2 feet in front of your feet.
Yeah, dude, that tomato gun is the worst fucking gun. You can't even get, like, distance on it.
No, you see what it is. Like, you're like, oh, it's a free-to-play game, and it's from PETA. It's definitely going to be, like, a joke or whatever. And it's, like, it's addicting almost.
Some of the enemies were, like, super ridiculous. And, like, I got, like, pinned against the wall. I'm like, oh, dude, are you fucking kidding me? Like, I can't even, like, shoot my way out or move. It just kills you. I'm like, oh, my God.
And then every time you get hit, your poor little cat meows in pain.
Yeah. And then did you go to the crow, crow of knowledge?
Yes.
Did they give you all the fun facts about animal cruelty?
Yes. Oh, man. As much as Pete is, like, ridiculous, some of the things they do, they've made a surprisingly good game. I mean, well, they paid someone to make a surprisingly good game.
Yeah, I mean, it's decent. It's decent.
Right, but again, I wasn't, for what it is, for a free-to-play game put out, produced by PETA.
Yeah.
It's a lot better. I mean, I'm not angry at myself for playing the game.
Yeah, fair enough.
But can the same be said for you, Sean, on the next game?
Assassin's Creed Odyssey. Yeah. So
are you?
I put it. So it took me about 3 weeks to beat this game, Danny. That's why I was like, I was doing some long term homework. I couldn't get any short term homework done in the last couple weeks.
No.
No.
You couldn't do your random fun stuff. You had to do your midterm.
Exactly. So I was bored. I needed a game to play. The Destiny expansion pack. That I don't even know if I even want to talk about it.
I saw somebody say I'm sure you saw it. You follow the Destiny subreddit, but it was like, I never thought I'd say this, but I miss Activision.
Yeah. It's so brutal. The season model that they released is just too brutal to play. I mean, Trials of Osiris is out right now, but it's just like, I don't know. I'm not even motivated to try to get into it and play. Like the first thing I did is I ran up to Drifter to see what was the new gun that you could earn for Gambit, and it was like, yeah, there's no new guns for the three guys. The three game modes. I'm like, well, fuck. And then it was like, I played, and then like I made it through like the part of the story. And it's like, okay, so now you just need to do... So you need to go do public events for these special public events this season to get coin. And then you bring it back, and then you could upgrade this thing. And I'm like, oh, cool, so this is literally a reskin of what we did two seasons ago. Yeah, I'm done playing. Like, after 2.5 hours of playing, I won't even say 2.5. So an hour and a half of playing, I was like, done.
I was like, yeah, wow. And I saw another post about Reddit about Destiny on Reddit, and it was like, you know, in the past, I tell my friends like, oh man, you're missing out on so much, and now I tell them when they ask, like, yeah, you're not missing out on anything.
Yeah, all the trials armor is all just reskin stuff. Like There's really no reason to play it right now. It's just the same old stuff. So we'll see. I mean, honestly, I'm expecting that the team is doing something different anyways behind the scenes. So I'm assuming that even the next season is going to be pretty lousy, and that we'll have to see what the big release is in September. Whether it's Destiny 3 or something new. There's already a rumor going out that they're working on a different game. They're not even working on Destiny.
Are they working on Anthem to make it better?
No, I don't think they're working on that one. Sometimes I see the Anthem for like $10. I'm like, should I buy it and just kind of play it?
See how you know it what? Is? Like, Anthem was fun until you got to the end game stuff. You know, like Destiny.
I would say now, but I think Destiny at least had a much more productive career versus Anthem stopping after like 2 months.
Yeah, but it's like a team like that gets eliminated from the playoffs early, or a team that gets like eliminated from the first round of the playoffs. Either way, they're both home at the championship game.
Something like that.
It's like the NBA this season, only one team didn't make the playoffs this year. The Golden State Warriors. They got eliminated before they canceled the season.
Oh, man. So, anyways, back to Assassin's Creed. Back to Odyssey! So, Odyssey takes place in the kind of Greek mythology. So, you got Spartans and stuff, and a lot of, like, fuck Ares and this and that. So first of all, it felt as clunky as any other Assassin's Creed game that came out, because they make one every year. So it's already felt very clunky. Like, I was already like, okay, meh. The leveling was decent. I thought some of the powers that you could buy were solid, and I thought others were kind of weak. So you could be like a hunter, a warrior, and then Assassin. So I kind of picked, I generally did a couple of the Hunter moves I wanted, focused a lot on Assassin, and then did a couple Warrior moves. So, because the difference in this game is, like, there's stealth, and there's stealth missions, but there's a lot of just, like, there's, like, parts where you join, like, the war in different parts of the regions, and so there's no hiding, so you have to have warrior abilities, because you're literally on a field fighting. You can't hide anywhere on the field.
you can't just point and say, hey, what's that over there, and then throw down a smoke bomb and disappear?
Exactly. Although that was an assassin power, but I didn't buy it.
Well, then you fucked up, Sean.
Probably. So basically in this one, there's a major spoiler in that it's part of your origin, and then the other part is that your great grandfather is one of those top Spartans. What is Leonidas? You're like his grandson. So so you are part Spartan and part something else, which is a spoiler. And so you get his spear, and you could do some cool power-ups with it. And then basically, as you're kind of going through, like, you know, the story starts, and, you know, for some reason, like, the priest wants to kill your sister because he's trying to do a sacrifice to Ares, so that way the Spartans will be successful. And you accidentally, like, try to save her, and you accidentally knock this elder off. So they're like, dude, you killed our older guy, our elder, so we're gonna fucking kill you. And they throw you off the cliff. A lot of people are falling off the cliff, you know. Very Spartan-like kind of substance, like, right there.
If you just replaced it with a hole, then it would be the movie 300.
Exactly. So he's like a street rat, and then he's trying to explore, and he starts looking for his mom, and then he finds out, like, there's this whole cult that's really trying to take over the world, and so some Spartans are in the cult, and some of the Greeks are in the cult, and all this crazy shit. So you have, like, people that are, like, underground, like, black market people, but then you have, like, certain kings and stuff that are all in the cult, and so basically your job is to, like, kill the cults and stuff. So you, like, so that's, you're going through and you kill the cults and whatnot. So the other part, the one thing that, like, really annoyed me overall about the game was that there's just way too many side missions. They're just bullshit side missions. Like, if you did all the side missions, you could be way level past level 50 without even playing, like, the main story of the game. So it was kind of like everywhere you go, there's, like, ping ping, and then there's, like, here's some updated quests, and here's some new quests, and it's just like, Jesus Christ, dude, there's way too much stupid-ass shit to do in this game.
But you can be OP and beat everybody in one shot.
You cap at level 50. And then all of your enemies, like, level up with you. It would, just the amount of, like, random side quests was, I mean, it was just annoying, because it would just be like, it's like, oh, you talk to this old lady. Oh, my husband, he's a dumbass, and he's out there trying to hunt some bobcats. Can you go save him? He hasn't been back in 2 days. It's just like, all right, I'll go out there. Then you go to the next area. My daughter went out into the fields and is probably trapped by bears. Can you help? It's just like, oh, my God, I can't do this.
Right, it's like somebody's going to have to die to some animal for being a dumbass and not, like, staying away.
Yeah, you're just like, fuck. It's just like, why? I want to throw a party for this guy. I need some wine. Can you go over to the dock and get some wine? And then you get to the dock, and it's like, it's a guarded zone, so you have to sneak through. It's like, dude, like, I'm like, literally spending my time to go through this, like, area I could get in trouble for, because I'm trying to get some wine for some douche. Like, come on.
You're aiding and abetting people in their alcoholism, Sean.
Exactly. There was a gladiator area, which was pretty cool. Legendary animals that you had to hunt, which was cool, and you got some good armor from those. So those were pretty fun. The ship battles were pretty fun. I enjoyed doing that. You could level up your ships and customize your ships. I thought it was really cool because if you could acquire armor you wanted, and then you could set the skin to look like something else. So if you really liked being a warrior, but you wanted to use like the helmets and stuff of the assassin, you could just make it. You could make your warrior armor look like the assassin armor. So that part was kind of cool from a customization standpoint.
That is cool, yeah. Like, they have that in, like, Final Fantasy 14, like, their glamour system. So it's like, you know, I had, like, full, like, armor on. But then when you played and you couldn't fit, you rage quit because you couldn't figure out how to emoji. You're making fun of me because I had, like, a schoolgirl outfit on.
pretty much.
I went full weeb.
Yeah, you did. I mean, I would never pay $60 for an Assassin's Creed game. I think I bought this one on sale for like $15. I mean, it was pretty dirt cheap. I think it was well worth like 20 and under, to be honest. Like, I did enjoy the game. And it made me want to finish because
finish the game or just finish in general?
Finish the game.
Okay.
So I didn't like finish all the side quests, but I finished the main story. I killed all the cults. I completed the gladiator story, and I killed all the legendary animals and did that quest. So there are like there is satisfying parts of the game. I don't think the game is terrible. It would have been a terrible $60 game, but I think, you know, if you could get it on sale during their different. I think if you could just buy it on sale, I think you'll have a good time with this game.
Yeah, I haven't played any of the Assassin's Creed games. I wanted to wait till they made a movie that would like just explain it all to me, starring an actor that was in a comic book movie and make it amazing. But I think they let me. I think it's, from what I've heard, it's not that amazing, even though I haven't watched it yet.
Yeah, like to be honest, like there is like the whole thing where they go into a. Thank you for bringing this up. This part of the story just makes no fucking sense because it happens like two or three times that you go like in the beginning it starts it and it's like, oh, I'm going to go into a chamber with this old spear and I'm going to go back in time and live through this character. And it's just like, what is the point? I mean,
is this your first Assassin's Creed game?
I started the very first one, but I didn't finish it. But I know this is like a continuation. But I don't get what any of this backstory shit means.
Well, like the first one, I don't know about the new ones, but like the first one, basically, it's like there was like two rival factions, like the Illuminati and somebody else. I can't remember what they were, like the Assassins and the Illuminati or something. But like your ancestors are part of the one group, and like the company that like there's a company that's the Illuminati and. One of your ancestors hid something and they're able to, they like basically perfected this form of like time travel where you can go back and live through the lives of your ancestors. And so the original one, they wanted you to go back and like figure out where your like ancestor hid this thing. So then they can go and get it and then take over the world basically.
Yeah. Cause I think that's what part of it was, is they were looking for something in this game, which you obviously found, which is the part of the spoiler, I mentioned earlier. So like, they're still probably doing that stupid shit.
Oh yeah. No. I mean, that's the game. So I don't know why they would change it.
Yeah. I don't know. It's boring. It's dumb.
So yeah, you've either like had a whole bunch of people that don't like try to play Assassin's Creed and hated it, like agreeing with you, or people that love Assassin's Creed and want to find out where you live and murder you.
That's fine. I'm in Riverside, California, off Monroe Street.
No, we've already established that you live close enough to Double Nickel Brewery to drive there on a regular basis. So So, I mean, if you don't want to find his house, you can just camp out at Double Nickel Brewing and look for somebody that looks like a soy boy and just punch him in the punch every soy boy in the face. Eventually, you'll get him.
There it is. There it is. Just punch soy boys. Gotcha.
Yes.
You bastard.
At least the soy boys at Double Nickel Brewing. And then eventually when one of them's like, hey, you listen to the podcast, you'll know you hit Sean in the face.
Ding, 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 ding. We got a winner.
And he'll buy you a free beer.
That seems to be going out there.
You just say you have a winner, ding, ding, ding. So you got to give a prize to the winner.
True. Fair enough. I'll punch them back in the face. I'll give them a knuckle sandwich.
That's not the soy boy way, Sean. You're gonna be like Brandon Ruth in Scott Pilgrim versus the World, where he was once vegan. Now he will be gone.
Hey, I don't have vegan powers, so I don't have to worry about that.
Yeah, but you have the soy boy powers.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
So, all right, everybody.
Well, that's it for this time, for this fantastic episode. Make sure you grab your toilet paper and your hand sanitizer and listen to this fantastic episode.
And hopefully you're one of the people that actually wash their hands and wipe their ass before the coronavirus hit.
Exactly. Make sure to follow us on Podbean, iTunes, Google Play, and Stitcher. Hopefully those don't crash and end during this time. You can follow us on Facebook and Twitter and what's that other one? Instagram. As long as they stay up, then you can see what we're doing. And then you could follow us on Untappd. I'm at DrDoom2828, and Danny is at Sir Hoppyhead. You could see what we're drinking if we decide to go out in public, or see what we're maybe drinking at home through a can.
Yes, exactly. I did actually leave the house yesterday and had a pie day dinner with a couple friends, and so I bought some pie themed beers.
Nice. I went to the ramen shop last night before Double Nickel. Dude, so fucking good, man. So good.
I'll have to head out there when like people are allowed to leave their house again.
Fair enough. All right, everybody. You stay safe, and we'll see you next time.
Yes, everybody. Later.